People of Earth, the following podcast is not real. Let's not all go seeking out fantastical dimensions. Close those wardrobes, everyone. Also, this is a live episode, so apologies, sound quality aficionados. It was recorded last November in Washington, D.C. at the historic 6th and I Synagogue, less than a mile away from the White House. It's a live episode except for the part that isn't live. See if you can catch it. And now, the land of food beckons. It's much too early to tend, so I guess we'll have to pretend.
Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, don't worry. I've got everything you need to know. About 2¾ years ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, I'm still getting a Wi-Fi signal through that dimensional portal from the Burger King, and I use that to upload a podcast I record every week here in the tavern, the Vermilion Minotaur, in the town of Hog's Face, in the land of Foon. And I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, which includes Usidore the Wizard.
I am Usidore, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Trachis. The elves know me as Fiang Yalak, the dwarves know me as Zonin and Hookstanges, and I'm known in the northeast as Gasmoinius Maystar. And there may be other secret names, names that shall ne'er escape my lips, for I have forgot them countless ages ago.
And I am also joined by my other co-host, Chunt the Talking Badger.
Oh, yeah, baby.
How you doing, bud?
Doing great. How you doing?
You know what? I've been better. I'm a little bummed. I've been spending weeks trying to save an episode that we recorded around the winter solstice.
Oh, I gave up on saving episodes long ago.
Fair.
I checked out.
Oh, I know.
What happened to this episode?
Well, you know, technology is complicated and hard to explain to people from a fantasy world, and also I'd be lying if I said I really even understood it. But, you know, we record episodes every week here in the tavern, and there was one that I think the file just got a little corrupted.
Oh, no.
Oh, like it's taking money on the down low? Selling drugs?
The file has been embezzling from the rest of the computer.
That is corruption.
What could have caused this? Wait. Was this the episode with Conrad von Plotz?
Yeah, it was the one where we talked to the emissary of the Dark Lord to kind of get his take. It was a great episode.
Then no wonder it has been corrupted. His very presence, I'm sure, did ruin this episode.
Or I might have fucked it up.
But thanks to the light...
Wait. So it was either corrupted or you just fucked it up. Let me think which is more plausible.
I might have hit like a wrong button or something.
I shall find a magical spell. Spell of goodness and light that shall resurrect part of this episode, if not all.
You think you can use some kind of spell to save this episode?
Aye, in this very tome here, I have a spell of podcast resurrection.
What?
I've been working on some podcast spells.
Do you think you could save all the great banter that I do up top at the beginning?
No.
Some of the crowd work?
This spell skips right over that.
Oh, God.
It gets right to the good stuff.
All right, well, do the spell. Is this spell in Klingon?
I think he got electrocuted.
Usidore, what? Speaking of Hog's Face, we're running Hog's Face. We're trying to make it a better town. I'm trying to make the tavern better. We're trying to make Hog's Face better. Mm-hmm. What have you been doing to make Hog's Face a better town?
Well, I added a lot of plans this week to make Hog's Face better, but I got stuck on another plane of existence and got laid over there for a while.
Oh, so you missed this plane. You weren't lying.
Well, I missed this plane for a while, and now I'm back on this plane of existence, and the thing that I plan to do next, to raise Hog's Face out of the mire and to make it wonderful and powerful again, is to buy us all a new hat.
So when you say, is everyone going to have to share one hat? Or are you getting everyone their own hat?
Well, I was trying to budget for everyone to get their own hat. But it might be smarter to share one. Cleaner. Safer. sexier.
We have a couple of guests, but first I want to talk to, we have a celebrity in the house, guys. We have one of the most famous musicians in all of Foon. I know, no. This is a surprise.
No.
I know.
Is it? There's only two people that could be.
The two most famous musicians in Foon are Nimby and Grundle, and we have one of the two. So a big round of applause for Nimby of Nimby and Grundle.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Good to see you.
Hello. Hello, yes. Yes. Hello.
Good dinner today.
Oh, you sure? Your hat looks wonderful tonight.
Thank you. Would you like to borrow it?
Perchance, if it fits in with my rock star persona.
So, Nimby, yes. You are part of Nimby and Grundle. It's Chunt's favorite band.
Oh, my gosh. They're the best band in the world.
Oh, we so appreciate that, but I'm afraid we've broken up again.
As per usual.
So, wait, the biggest band in all of Foon is broken up?
Of course, yes. Yes, it's delightful.
They often break up and then get back together. Don't worry about it too much.
We do, yes. Unfortunately, there was an incident at the Burning the Man Festival.
Was this incident burning a man?
Well, that's supposed to happen. The issue was my brother. See, he can get a bit, you know, took a tipsy, and he kind of couldn't stop burning mans.
Mans?
Mans, yes.
Oh.
That's the plural for our people.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
So you've broken up. Do you have plans to get back together anytime soon?
No, I hope I never see him again. He's the worst, probably, maybe in another week.
Well, Chunt, since we have one of your favorite musicians here, do you want to request a song?
Yes. Oh, Wonderwall? No.
Of course I'll do Wonderwall. It's our very biggest hit.
Arnie, this is a song about...
let me just say that if it's the song I think it is, I hope it's not more than 6 or 7 seconds long.
The full version is 10 minutes, but I'm afraid you haven't paid me, so you won't get that much. You know what? I need to an incantation, please, because the Vermilion Minotaur is especially crowded tonight. I fear I will not be heard without one.
Kereth tem toram ting tereth paul kentye tereth paul. Let this now be amplified. I did it. That was me.
Verily, your magic is great. You are such a good man.
Thank you.
And
I'm
now,
good at magic.
That's our second biggest hit. But first, Wonderwall. Have you ever wondered who makes the call? It's me from my magical place that I stand on top of every evening, casting spells. That's why I tell you it's my Wonderwall. I hope I don't fall, 'cause it's tall. And then it's 10 more minutes of that.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Terrific. So beautiful.
I almost got out two rocks and started sparking them together to set Arnie on fire just to, like, lose my mind.
Do your people burn, Arnold?
Do my people burn?
Yes.
Metaphorically, yeah. And then sometimes we literally, and we go see a doctor.
Okay, noted.
Yeah.
I'm just going to file that away.
Nimby, I have a question about the songs. You said that this Wonderwall song is very long.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes do you find that a song just gets very long because there's just a lot of words that rhyme with the word? You're like, wall? I can rhyme a lot of words with that.
That's typically what happens. Yes, we have a rock we go to, whereupon every word that has ever existed stands, and they are correlated in such a way that one can pick out the words that rhyme with one another.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, NIMBY, I was wondering, you know, Usador was talking about getting sexy.
Sex is fantastic, yes.
I cannot help but be the sexual being that I am.
That's true. I was wondering if you'd be willing to play your song, Sex is Fantastic.
I'm sorry, which one?
Sex is Fantastic.
Sex is fantastic. In fact, I just wrote this one right now. Some people have properties that one might call elastic. Some might go around the moon and act quite spastic. But my favorite ones of all don't go to a mall. What the hell is a mall? Sex is fantastic.
Oh man, so good. So good. So good.
Guys, I'm having so much fun just sitting around and listening to songs, but I feel terrible that I've been neglecting our next guest. Guys, look, there's evil in this world, a foon.
Yes, it's wonderful.
And I forgot that NIMBY might be a little bit evil, too. But look, we can't just ignore it. We should try to learn about it. So I brought an emissary of the Dark Lord here for us to talk to and to learn about.
That's very interesting. Very interesting.
Wait. I'm going to reserve judgment. What does emissary mean?
Vaguely, I think representative. But...
Boo indeed.
Yeah. So...
More of a message bringer, but that's fine.
We're going to talk to the Deputy Weaver of Parallel Truths for the Dark Lord.
Now, good people of the Vermilion Minotaur, we ask that you boo the Dark Lord, but cheer our next guest.
Our next guest, Conrad Von Plotz.
Yes.
Hurrah! Huzzah! Thank you for joining us, Conrad.
I have to get my hoodie out of the way. I must say I'm a little bit surprised to come to such a musical evening and filled with so many foon patriots and not to hear our national anthem. I was surprised. I can't say that I'm shocked. I'm certainly disappointed.
Sure. I'm sorry, Conrad. I have to confess, I don't know that I've ever heard the national anthem a foon, but...
I'm sure NIMBY knows it.
Of course. It's the best song in the world. I love it so much. I stand like 3 times as much when I hear it. If you can imagine a place you love more than yourself, that you'd give your life for, then this is what you have to do. Give up your rights. Amen.
I respect those who decided to take a knee.
I feel like you're sort of a powerful man because, I'm going to be honest here, like when NIMBY started doing the national anthem, people were just kind of sitting there.
There were a few people kneeling. I noticed a few people kneeling.
A few. And you stood and almost everybody in the tavern was like, oh, fuck, I gotta stand. What does it feel like to have that kind of power?
I like to think of myself as just a minion of our leader, really. Uh-huh. And I come and I represent his interests. His interests are, you know, he's a different kind of leader than we've had before. He's shaking some things up.
Yeah.
And I just feel proud every day to come serve him.
Sure. What made you decide to start working for the Dark Lord?
You know, let me butt in here for a second because I don't love that term. I think that's a slightly pejorative term.
Working?
Well, that's something. I know that's something that wizards aren't as familiar with. It's all magic with you. But every day when I go into the dark house to work, and I just don't. I think that the Lord likes to think of himself as maybe the nation's strength, the nation's protector. If you'd like to call him that, that seems like a better term. Or, you know, if you want to use Lord, Lord Fred would be fine.
Lord Fred?
Lord Fred, yes.
Lord Fred.
Casual. That's what he likes, you know, with his friends call him that.
Oh, really? This is a weird thing to ask about a powerful man. Like, is he your friend or do you just work for him?
Well, I wouldn't presume.
Yeah.
I wouldn't presume. What I know is that our Lord, our nation's strength, likes to get out. He likes to not just be, just know the elites around him. He doesn't just want to know the people of Hogsface, the shape-shifting badgers. He wants to know the miners elsewhere, the dwarven miners.
The miners?
And,
he wants to get
and
to know
so I
miners?
Think he's friends, I think he's friends with all of us in Foon. They're people he feels real kinship with.
I guess I never heard this story about the Dark Lord in miners. Well... No, I did. I guess I have. I have.
That's the one thing I won't shapeshift into.
Stay away from miners. Yep. So, Conrad, I'm sorry. I really would like to know more about what your job entails.
Well, you know how sometimes our Lord likes to talk about flaying wizards and burning books. I just want to emphasize that my job is to sort of explain that he's speaking. He's not speaking literally. I mean, yes, there are wizards getting flayed. I'm not...
Absolutely.
I mean, but he doesn't really mean it literally most of the time.
Except for when it literally happens.
Yes, when it does happen, that's literal. But most of the time, my job is to help explain to all the people here, all of your listeners...
Sure.
What our Lord is doing...
Sure.
And to humanize him, to bring out some of the lighter side.
Sure. You know, it's so interesting how you keep saying our Lord. Like, and I'm like, hey, whoa, not my Lord.
I'm curious because I don't think you're a citizen.
Oh.
So I don't think he would be your
Lord.
Arnold.
That's true. I'm from another world. I'm a foreigner.
Yeah. Arnold was granted full citizenship by the King of the Northeast before his untimely passing. It was my gift to him one winter solstice. He is a full citizen, and therefore subject to all the terrible crap that goes down.
It is true that the former king, before he passed away, said that although I haven't gone through all of the rituals to be in this country, that I could stay, and it's cool. And I don't have to worry about it. And I just assume that now that there's the different leader in Foon, I don't have to worry that suddenly I'm going to be kicked out.
Well, you do seem to know your place.
Look, just because I rarely get out of this chair doesn't mean that I know my place. I do not know much, sir.
Yes.
So, Conrad, so like you interpret the Dark Lord's words
again,
and action.
Maybe not Dark Lord.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lord Fred?
Lord Fred.
You interpret his actions and his words for other people.
Yeah, for the general public. I know that, you know, many of you, you know, have heard about terrible things that have been going on, and sometimes you're not getting the full story.
Yeah. Why don't we say some of the terrible things we've heard the Dark Lord has done, and you can tell us, like...
I'd love that. I'd love that. Because I don't think it's all getting out there. Because I think the way that you're controlling access to information is causing people not to hear the truth.
Yeah.
And maybe here on the coasts, in the Northeast, people have one view. But out, you know, again, the dwarven miners.
The Lord is doing wonderful things for me.
Exactly.
I am in heavy metal, and I have so much more metal now. And I appreciate that.
Mercury, polonium,
yes.
Uranium, all of those metals.
The molybdenum is off the charts.
Lead.
Usador, what's one horrible thing that you know the Dark Lord has done?
Oh, one terrible thing he did was he took my known old rival, Telephus the White, the one who I did defeat at the Great Halls of Tarakas, and he did flay that wizard. He did put him up on a spike and strike him with a whip several times and say, your good magic is not welcome here in this land of evil and darkness, and I cast thee out. And he did nearly kill Telephus the White until I did show up upon Grimhoof, the fifth fastest horse in Foon, pulling Chode by his side. And I'd say, Telephus, get on this Chode. and ride him to freedom.
Don't say Kumcho. Don't say Kumcho.
I'm going to just unpack this a little bit. You had one horse, Grimhoof, ride another horse.
Grim? No, no, no. I was riding Grimhoof, my friend, the horse lord. Behind him was the horse that I own, the horse named Chode. He followed behind us so that I had an escape horse for my friend, the other wizard, Telephus.
Oh, okay.
The Dark Lord hurt Telephus, and it made me angry. That's the short version.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Yes.
What was he wearing? How was he dressed? Was he provoking? Was he looking very much like a wizard?
No. Well, yes, he looked exactly like a wizard. He looked pretty much exactly like me, but wearing white robes instead of blue. All wizards look pretty much like me, except wearing a different color of robes, unless they're a lady wizard, and then they just don't have a beard.
It's true. It's worth noting for that Genlevia the red wizard who is your on-again, off-again love interest, looks exactly like you, just without the beard and wearing red.
And a horrible disfiguring scar on her face.
Yes.
That makes her even more beautiful to me.
And would you like to hear more about what actually happened? I think that anybody who knows our Lord understands that he would certainly never flay someone who was white.
Yes, so true.
I don't have a response to that.
This is the kind of garbage.
I'm not sure how to argue with that. That's the kind of garbage that you've been fighting against?
Yeah, these kind of lies that you and some of your cohort, some of your colleagues have been spreading.
Wow.
And I think, I'm just wondering if you'd like to apologize.
I would not like to apologize, for I was there and I know what I saw.
Chun, what is something terrible that you've heard that the Dark Lord has done?
If I'm being 100% honest, I don't want to talk about what the Dark Lord has said. I'd rather talk about what the Dark Lord would never say, which is like, the Dark Lord would never say that I'm like short and fat. Never. He would never say that. Never. Ever. Right?
He prefers beavers to badgers.
Right, yeah. So I would like to think he would never say that. I've heard that as well. So I like to think that there's still a chance we could be friends and like I'm trying. And I also heard the Dark Lord has a mysterious announcement to make.
On Wednesday. It'll be on Wednesday.
Oh, on Wednesday? Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty straightforward. Never mind. That's not mysterious at all. I'm sorry to perpetrate false information. I'm sorry. That's not mysterious.
Someone's talking about fake news?
Well, that's our song, Fake Moos.
Fake Moos? I gotta say, I would love to hear a song, Fake Moos.
Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you know it after all.
Oh, I gotta stand up. This cow is not real. I know by the feel. I've touched so many cows in my life, in lots of places, it's not weird. Let's not dwell on the thing I said about touching cows. Look, this is about the cows, not about me.
Not about you, it's the cows.
What I'm saying is, they're fake cows. I'm not a pervert. I'm not a pervert.
That was great, and I'm not thrilled to say that, but it was.
You know, on my world, we sometimes have songs where they never use the title as one of the lyrics. And they're fine, but they're hard to Google.
Yes, Dead Zeppelin is particularly good at that.
Conrad, here's my question. And feel free to say no. And it won't happen right now. Do you ever want to sing a song?
Well.
Do you have a favorite of ours?
I...
I can sing it with you. You just call it out.
You certainly don't have to sing a song.
I'm going to think about that.
Think about it.
I'm going to think about that for a little bit.
Conrad, I heard that the Dark Lord has...
Again.
I'm sorry. Language. I heard that your boss has been just like destroying like the ground and the trees.
Who'd you hear that from? Who'd you hear that? You from a little birdie? Little Conrad birdie?
Chunt, what's the deal with the chunts these days?
Let's get back to this great story where the Dark Lord destroyed the ground.
Yeah, the Dark Lord has been destroying the ground and the trees. What?
It's all darkness and gloom with you guys, isn't it? It's all, you don't see the growth that's happening in Foon.
Uh-huh.
You don't see that. You don't see the dwarven miners busily mining. I mean, sure, there's just trees are being destroyed. Why are they being destroyed? Because the dwarven miners, with their open pit mines,
are
taking down to bring us some of the metals. To bring us some of the metals.
Some of us appreciate that.
Aluminum.
Oh, I love that. I roll around in it in my bed.
Yes, but this dwarven mining affects such a small portion of the people in Foon. It's not true economic growth if it only impacts a very small group of people.
Well, the right people.
Watch it.
I think that's a quite narrow way of looking at it, which again I would expect from a pointy-headed elite like you. But I think the people of Foon are tired of being dictated to by people with advanced...
By all-knowing wizards?
With advanced
degrees. By wizards who come from beyond this very realm? I, who are brought into this world by a conspiracy of birds and rain and fire and wind, with the sole purpose of defending the good people of this land, I, each and every one of you, is under my protection. I shall rise up against that Dark Lord, and I shall strike him down with all the fervor and glory that Usador can muster!
You know what?
You know,
I've got to say...
Hashtag treesistance.
Look, I've got to say, I'm not a fan of your boss, the Dark Lord. But, you know, Usador, you do seem to talk down to people sometimes. You talk down to me, and you think you're so smart. And you think the people you fly over are not as good as you. Just because you're a wizard and you can fly over people.
Well said, well said. Also, if I could point to, I don't know your history very well. It sounds like you also come from outside of this land. You're not native-born Foonian.
No, that's not true.
You just said, I don't want to repeat your words back at you, but you just said, I was brought from outside this land by earth and wind and trees and,
well,
and
then
rain.
Then every time someone's born, they came from outside the land. They were somewhere else before. The birds and so forth, they did call me forth into this world, and the way I was birthed might be not be the way that you were birthed, out of a uterus. But I don't think that means I should be looked down upon. And my opinion is perfectly valid. And all I have ever done is to help protect people and make their lives better, and sometimes point out dumb stuff that Arnie says. Which I think is making his life better.
But all I'm saying is, just because I say dumb things doesn't mean that I don't think they're right. I'm so sorry. I realize we've been going on, and I've been having such a good time that I don't have a problem with this being a longer than usual show. And the people in the tavern, I assume, are cool with it, too. But someone yelled something that I hope was just, oh, boys' night!
That's for everyone.
Conrad, we just yell a lot of stupid shit around here. I realize that we should listen to... We have a word from one of our sponsors here in Foon. You know, I come to this world and I introduce the idea of a podcast, and suddenly everyone thinks they're making podcasts. We got Getting Nuts from these guys. And if I'm perfectly honest, most of the time someone says they have a podcast, they're really just like talking into sticks. But their money spends like anybody else, so I'm very excited if we could have some of our sponsor music, and we're going to hear a word from one of our sponsors.
Hi there. Live from FPR, which endorses nothing being said on the stage tonight. I am Danielle Kurtzleben. I'm from FPR, the Foon Public Roundtables, where we hold nightly roundtable discussions in Foon to quietly and dispassionately talk about the events of the day. Anyway, we have great news. We're starting the FPR Politics Podcast, where every week we will shrug off our FPR voices and talk about politics the way you talk about them with your friends at the bar over a few meads. With our swords drawn, shouting at the top of our lungs, absolutely blasted, and periodically threatening each other's lives. Together, we'll tackle the toughest questions facing Foonian politics right now. When will it be the right time for a woman Dark Lord? Will the 79th attempt to appeal to Tanya Kerr succeed? Relatedly, how angry must Titania be that only her two biggest accomplishments ever get any attention? Are the so-called Baron Bros maybe a little too overzealous? Are thoughts and incantations enough after last week's dragon attack in Skur? Is it ever the right time to talk about wand control? Should we have tougher background checks for daggers, or background checks for broadswords, or background checks for catapults? And of course, how should we simplify the tax code? So join us on this week's episode where host Scott Detrow and I will duke it out over the legalization of Morglorb. It's a conversation I'm hoping will end in a violent coup with me ascending to my rightful place as FPR Politics Podcast host. And I'm sure it'll be a doozy. So, join us on the FPR Politics Podcast, staging bloody fights over the news so you don't have to.
That's so exciting. I mean, I've listened to a few of these Foon National Roundtable conversations, and it's, you know, it makes me think. It makes me worry about what the Dark Lord is doing in Foon.
Well, I think the issues that was raised there, I think, is a subject that my good friend and I can agree on, which is that when wands are outlawed, only outlaws are going to have wands. And I think it now is not the time. Not after...
Can I have my staff?
Excuse me?
My staff. Can I have a staff if I give up my wand?
No, you get to keep your wand. You don't, you're not paying attention, which is a common trait of wizards, I suppose.
But Usador, like, how did you get that wand?
Well, I went to the branch of a tree. I tore it off, and I spoke magical incantations over it until it did begin to be imbued with the magical powers that I did focus it with, and then I took it to the local magistrate, and I gave it to him, and I waited 3 days.
Now, what I would worry about, and I'm sure that you all are worried about too, is during those 3 days, when you were without your wand, what some malevolent person might have been able to do to you. And
if a malevolent person did try to do something to Usador, I need no wand to throw them off me, to cast them down and strike them with great magical prowess. Nay, I am magic to the core. This helps me focus my magic in certain ways. Yea, it is a tool that I use. And I think that there is no reason there cannot be common sense laws for using wands responsibly. There's no reason to go waving a wand around like a maniac. What sort of idiot would do that? Because anything could happen. It's dangerous and it's stupid.
What? Usador, what happened?
I know not. I heard a cackling noise. It sounded like a voice of evil from beyond the ether. Oh, someone is trying to interrupt my spell and lose the last part of this episode, the funniest part. The rest of it was building up to this because the rest of it was just okay.
Oh, man. We're not getting any of the payoff.
Yeah, I know. NIMBY played that great song.
It's amazing.
Here, I may have one more specific podcast spell that relates to guests who play special songs and write songs for us.
Oh, wait, can you also save some of the other jokes? I had some pretty good stuff about...
No, I'm sorry.
Catapult
I'm
background
really sorry.
Checks. You got to check behind the catapult, otherwise it's going to hit like a tree.
Maybe bonus content someday. Anyway,
he's going in slow motion.
Yeah.
He floated to the ceiling. Burp, Usador, burp, you have to burp. That's it, boy. That's it. Burp.
Oh my gosh, a studio version of the song is coming out of his mouth.
Now the spell.
Zing.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. Ooh, isn't this exciting? It's mysterious. Well, this one is about so many of the places we've been. Yes, everywhere, I reckon. Me and my lute-playing brother are creatures of the road. We don't like one another. Our teacher was a toad. She taught us of the places where the people dare not go. But we're not good at listening, so now the list of towns we know includes Vinegar Ban, Weaselford, Gatherington. We were looting Dirt Pile Tower, Bryn Manuel, Anonymous Field of Flowers, yeah, Don Tootin. L-U-T-E-N-F-O-O-N, Looting and Foon, Looting and Foon. L-U-T-E-N-F-O-O-N, didn't hear a town? Well, we'll get there soon. Like these ones. Capital City, Malfoy and Doof, Mick Shingle, Shane Forrest. We were looting the banks of Tyra, Gurgle, Berkle and Scare, the bridges of Great Axe, time to get scootin'. L-U-T-E-N-F-O-O-N, Looting and Foon, Looting and Foon. L-U-T-E-N-F-O-O-N, remember the towns by collecting their spoons. Oh, such a wonderful hobby, it's Looting and Foon. Okay, now it's time for the wonderful time when I do the magical talk singing thing. When I can't be in my land, then I hike to Eric's Island. Big fan Bandit Island's nicer, cause taters there are spicier. Cakes down by the lake can make a shrike vacate her valley, and the alleys of Fingaria are filled with valid warriors. My gosh, got lost in Migos, tossed our sauce way down in Gunda. Under Oakland, you'll find Glorian Falls and Furlingshire. They licked our balls! Yes! We like every town. We adore every place. And it's more than simple pandering when we say that the best place of all is Hog's Face. Yes, we said the name of your town because it's so fucking fantastic. L-U-T-E-N-F-O-O-N, Looting and Foon, Looting and Foon. L-U-T-E-N-F-O-O-N, one more chorus than the end of the tune. L-U-T-E-N-F-O-O-N, Looting and Foon, Looting and Foon. L-U-T-E-N-F-O-O-N. Don't walk at night by the light of full moon, or drink from the waters of the Snack Lagoon. We really have to go, but we'll be back real soon. Sometimes a raccoon is just a raccoon. Yeah! Yes! Yes, it's terrific. Look at me go. My hand, it's all the way up the neck. My gosh, it's in the sky. Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, that was lovely.
That was great. You know, NIMBY, besides being progressively more evil-seeming, is a great... It has a beautiful voice.
Oh, absolutely. It's so rich, so velvety.
Well, that's it.
Huh. I guess a lot of my stuff got cut out.
What's this?
I guess about 28 minutes of my material got cut out of that episode.
John,
seemed like I was a little light.
The file got corrupted. Maybe I hit something.
Seemed like the file was a hitman for my material.
I don't know. I think maybe you shouldn't just front load yourself so much in the episodes.
I remember the first 15 minutes before Usador came on being you and I having a delightfully and hilarious conversation.
Well, sure. It was. It was great.
Should we try and reenact it?
All right. Okay. Well, okay. So... Huge applause from everyone in the
nonstop,
tavern.
Nonstop. I start twerking. I start
so
twerking.
Much. You start twerking. Twerk, 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 twerk.
You join me in a twerk.
Yeah.
Everybody's
twerking. I don't think that happened. I feel like I see people in the front wearing Squad Ghoul shirts, which is really cool.
Arnie starts doing backflips, like in mm-hmm. place.
Yes.
I ate fire.
Yes. I was able to just think of things off the top of my head immediately.
Wait. What?
This sounds really fun.
Yeah.
I've never watched a show before I come on.
What do you do?
I prepare.
Oh.
Wait, we can start prepare
doing that.
I didn't know we could prepare. I'd be so much funnier.
Yeah. I'd be so much funnier too.
Ides?
Beware the Ides of funnier.
There's gotta be an out in here somewhere. Guys, I think this outro's got corrupted.
Here, let me cast a spell of outro resurrection. And now the spell.
Well, that was like the end of Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, but annoying. Chump the Talking Badger was played by Adol Refai. Usador the Wizard was played by Matt Young. Feeling cornered in an argument? Simply start shouting until the audience comes to your aid. Place your bets on how that skill transfers to long-term relationships. Nimby the Halfling Bard was played by special guest Storm DiCostanzo from the band Paul and Storm. Check out more of their music at paulandstorm.com. And to learn more about the Joko Cruise, a yearly comedy and music cruise they perform on and curate along with Jonathan Coulton, go to jokocruise.com. Conrad Von Plotz, the deputy weaver of alternate truths, was played by David Plotz, the CEO of Atlas Obscura, and one of the hosts of the podcast The Slate Political Gabfest. Danielle Kurtzleben, the FPR correspondent, was played by Danielle Kurtzleben, an NPR politics reporter who appears regularly on the NPR Politics Podcast. Check out the NPR Politics Podcast and the Slate Political Gabfest on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or that one seemingly unremarkable conch shell near the Forbidden Cove at the far end of the Bay of Smarmy Third Examples. Now, tuck us in for bed, won't you, Craig?
Hello from the Magic Tavern was produced by Arnie Niekamp, Evan Jacover, and Ryan DiGiorgi. This one edited by Garrett Schultz. Music by...
Hey, Craig, do you mind if I butt in and say a few things about the live show?
All right, let me finish the credits first, Robot Arnie.
I'm not a robot. I've explained this a lot of different times.
All right. Music by Andy Poland. Logo by Allard Laban. Additional audio effects by Jason Knox. Production assistance by Garrett Schultz. Visit us at HelloFromTheMagicTavern.com or on Facebook or Twitter. Thanks to the Chicago Podcast Co-op and thanks to Earwolf. Hey, keep listening. The third anniversary of Magic Tavern is coming up soon in just a couple of weeks, month and a half. And we're probably going to do something cool for it that we don't have planned yet. So stay tuned. All right, Robot Arnie, what did you want?
I just wanted to thank everyone who came out to the live show in Washington, D.C. It was a great time at the 6th and I Synagogue. We had a group of people in the front row who had drawn squad ghouls onto their white t-shirts. And then later we realized there was a different group with black homemade squad ghouls t-shirts in the balcony. There were two competing squads of ghouls that did not know each other or plan this in advance. Also, someone in the audience was cosplaying as Flower, who was cosplaying as her Offices and Bosses character, Gail Davidson Durst. Thank you to Sharon Christinger from Stranger Cinematics, who helped us out when we realized that due to a plethora of audio snafus when we were recording the live show, a decent chunk of the beginning and end of the recording just was not up to the audio standards that we want for this podcast. And thank you to Storm for always being a great guest and then helping us out by re-recording the great song that he ended the show with so we could include it in the podcast. And now I'm pretty much just repeating the credits, but once again, I did want to thank David Plotz from the Slate Political Gabfest, which is easily one of my favorite podcasts, and I listen to it every week. Thank him so much for doing the show. And thank you to Danielle Kurtzleben from the NPR Politics Podcast for writing and performing the fake ad, which was probably the funniest part of the show. Guys, how did we get such smart and otherwise respectable people to ignore their better judgment and agree to be on our show? Mike Pesca helped a little bit, thank you. But mostly just thanks to David and Danielle for being so game to do something so silly. Okay, I'm rambling again, but I just want to say the live show was so much fun. It's a bummer that we lost some chunks of it due to technical difficulties, but I am so glad that we were able to save probably the funniest part in the middle. And we have some lower audio quality versions of some of the other parts that maybe we'll do something with eventually, maybe bonus content or something. Anyway, I'm going to go into sleep mode now. Powering down.
It's the powering down that always... I got to come back to... I think he's a robot. I'm like 90% sure.